9 o'clock. Okay, so yesterday we discussed Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus, one of Rabbi Akiva's Rebbeim. Today I'll just briefly discuss Rabbi Akiva's other Rebbe, Rabbi Hoshua ben Hananya. Just a word about having two Rebbeim. Very often people have one Rosh Yeshiva. Part of what made Rabbi Akiva unique is that he had two Rabbanim, and they were very different from one another, and I'll try to highlight those differences, but I speak from personal example, because in my yeshiva, in the Gush Yeshiva, I was zochet to learn with Avraham Lichtenstein and Rav Amital, and they were very different people. And it's very hard to pick up all the traits in life from one person, because everyone has their own personality. When you have two people that are your Rebbeim, you see there's a breadth to Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus were such different people. Rabbi Yeshua, his nickname, he was a Talmud of Yochanan ben Zakkai. He was one of the Talmidim that helped smuggle Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's body out of out of Yerushalayim. And his nickname, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would allocate nicknames, was Ashrei Yoladato. Fortunate is the mother that gave birth to him. Which is interesting because you could say that about any Talmud Chacham or any great person that doesn't seem specific to Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. By the way, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, in Shas, it's just Rabbi Yeshua. When Rabbi Yeshua, it's Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. So Rashi quotes a famous legend that when Rabbi Yeshua's mother was pregnant with him, she would walk by the Beis Medrash every day and ask the Rabbanim to daven that her son should be a Talmud Chacham or say some Tehillim or something of the sort, which is very intriguing because there's a similar story about Rashi's mother when she was pregnant with him, that she was almost run over by a horse in the streets of France, and at some point an ace happened and there was a little enclave that opened up on the side. So there's an itch. What? Right, so there's a similar backstory to Rashi, as Rashi describes for Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. Anyway, I think the story that best highlights Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, and I would contrast him with Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus, who was a radical and absolute and purist and in all the right ways, Rabbi Yeshua was much more moderate. He understood human nature. He himself was poor. We'll see this a little bit later. And after the Beis HaMikdash, you can imagine how guilty people felt and how sad people felt. They wanted to radicalize their lives in reflection of the lack of a Beis HaMikdash. So they didn't want to eat meat or drink wine at all. This is Gemara at the end of the third parak of Bava Basra. They didn't want to eat meat or drink wine at all. And Rabbi Shua came to them and said, what does that mean? If you're not going to eat meat and drink wine because the Beis HaMikdash isn't here, you used to bring meat in the Beis HaMikdash, you shouldn't eat bread because you eat bread in the Beis HaMikdash. You shouldn't drink water because you brought water in the Beis HaMikdash. And he said, there has to be a balance between halachic demands and what people are able to handle. And Yain Gozum Gezer El Tzibur, Elam Kein Rov El Tzibur Yecholim Lamodal. And that's halachic quoted. And he helped them modulate their avelos. That at certain points of the year, avelos is felt more deeply. And of course, this was the source of having a little part of your house that's unfinished, Zecher L'Churban. So to me, that story highlights Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanani's ability to understand human nature. And because, we'll see later, because he was poor, I think he understood the struggles of human nature. Anyway, he was very active. He was in the second century, and he was very, very active in interactions, philosophical and theological interactions, primarily located in Rome. Now, it's not clear. It's all over the Gemara, all over Shas, all over the Midrashim, theological, about Midos, about Tchias HaMesim, about Mashiach, about Hashem, about Hashem's traits. Some of these probably took place with the Romans. The Romans themselves were exploring religion in a very sincere way, not just to oppress us. Turnus Rufus was Rabbi Akiva's colleague, and they had some real conversations because Rome was trying to understand religion, and slowly but surely Rome came to monotheism. Remember, this is 130. By 367, the Roman Empire becomes the Holy Roman Empire, and they shift to Christianity, the Edict of Milan. So they're trying to explore, but it's probably also with Medim, probably Jews who were becoming Christians, and he had a lot of interactions with these Jews, and he was known as the go-to address. So there's a lot in the Medrash and the Gemaras and Chagiga and Anida about all the questions they posed to Yeshua ben Hananya, which shows that he had a certain breadth. He wasn't just someone who was an expert in halacha and an expert in the psak, but he had a breadth of life that allowed him to interact with not just Roman nobility, but with people who were searching for truth or people who were questioning truth. I mentioned before that according to Rashi, the phrase Ashrei Yoladato is because his mother was so pious and so devoted to his becoming a Talmid Chacham. The Meiri on that Mishnah novel says Ashrei Yoladato because he combined three traits that no other people had. He was very, very scintillating intellect. He was very bright. He had a great memory, photographic memory. But also there's a third trait that's necessary to be someone of his stature. It's not just intellectual, how strong your mind is, how well you retain information, Meir says, Psichas Alev. His heart was open. Now, I'm not going to say what Psichas Alev is, but there's a third part to being a Talmud Chacham which can't be gauged through intellectual strength. It has to be breadth, it has to be desire, it has to be whatever Psichas Alev is. There's an emotional component to understanding Torah and to understanding the depths of Torah. It's easy to read the knowledge of Torah, information. What about seeing into behind the knowledge? To see the wisdom of Torah, it has to be an emotional, existential moment, not just how smart. You can't just process Torah like information. And that's what equipped Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya to be so successful in this broader engagement with the world around him. And anyway, we also know Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, Rabbi Yeshua, from his very, very severe interactions with the Ben Gamliel. The three famous machloksim between the Ben Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. One was about when Yom Kippur would fall that year, and Rabbi Gamliel forced Rabbi Yehoshua to attend the Yom Kippur that Rabbi Yeshua felt was Yom Kippur because Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi and his psak held. So in order to impose his authority upon Rabbi Yeshua, he made Rabbi Yeshua travel to Rabbi Gamliel's palace on the day that Rabbi Yeshua thought was Yom Kippur with his stick and to violate Yom Kippur. And of course, in contrast to Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, who didn't accept the authority of Chazal and was excommunicated, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya submitted to Rabbi Gamliel, even though it was embarrassing and even though it was Yom Kippur, and wasn't Machlokes about a Tanu, it was a Machlokes about Yom Kippur. So that's the contrast between the two. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus was radical, demanding, you're not going to tell me anything, I believe I'm right. Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya understood that there's a broader world of Samchus Chazal that has to be respected. The two other machloksim, we all know the machloksim about Maariv. Rabbi Gamliel thought that Maariv was a chovar, Rabbi Yeshua thought that Maariv was a rishos, and they had a machlokas in the study hall, in the Beis Medrash, and Rabbi Gamliel embarrassed Rabbi Yeshua by forcing him to stand, because his shita was opposing Rabbi Gamliel's shita while other people sat. And there's a parallel story about a bechor, a very, very picayune question about a bechor who was a balmum, and the same thing. Rabbi Yeshua disagreed with Gamliel, Gamliel embarrassed Rabbi Yeshua by forcing him to stand, and this led to Rabbi Gamliel's being deposed. This is when they deposed Rabbi Gamliel because of his insensitive treatment of Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. At some point, the Gemara recounts in Brachos that Rabbi Gamliel visits Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya in his home to appease him, to pacify him, and he sees Rabbi Yeshua is very poor. He was a coal manager who would deliver coals to people, and he was very black, and his house was black and full of soot. It was a very ugly business, and Rabbi Gamliel was shocked. And Rabbi Yeshua comments and he says, you see, you're so detached, you're the Nasi, you're so detached from people suffering, you don't know how real people live, effectively. It's a very, very poignant moment. Rabbi Yeshua is a normal, average man, he's a working man, a lunch pail man, and he understands human nature. And Rabbi Gamliel, who's just been, you know, isolated in the luxury of the palace, doesn't fully get human nature, and Rabbi Yeshua softly chides him for that. I'll just end by citing one of Rabbi Yeshua's well-known statements. We all know the Mishnah and Avos, we're studying Avos, Hakina, Vatava, Vahakavod, Motsinas Adam and Olam, jealousy and desire and pride. Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya had a different trifecta, a different triplet. He said, Yetzer Hara, we understand, Ayin Hara, lack of generosity, stinginess. But the third one is Sinas Abrios, misanthropy, Motsinas Adam and Olam. So again, for Rabbi Yeshua, it was a very different set of three. How do you treat other people? Are you generous? Do you like people in general, or are you someone who's misanthropic and you hate people? It wasn't just the kina type of a covet, or something else that he felt was motzian as adam in Allah. Chag Sameach, everyone. Chag Sameach.